Good morning.
Good afternoon.
Good evening.
Whichever it is for you, here's the Morning Scramble
with Claire and Eric,
a Z102.9 podcast.
Enjoy.
I don't want to say for those who celebrate, because you don't celebrate Ash Wednesday, is the word recognize? Participate?
Observe. Yeah.
Observe?
Yeah.
I guess multiple denominations observe it as the Methodist Episcopalian in the room.
Yeah.
I'm not getting ash on my head. And it's not required. You keep reminding me of this every year at this time.
No, people forget. They think that it is a requirement because you can physically see that other people have gone to service, right? It's like, oh, I better get my ashes today. But it is not what we call a holy day of obligation.
But it's just within the Catholic faith that ashes are distributed, right? I don't know. Do Lutherans do it? Do Presbyterians?
I don't know.
I mean, growing up, I remember a lot of my friends having, you know, we had a Catholic grade school.
Uh-huh.
We had St. James.
No, we had a Lutheran, like a big Lutheran community, and that I don't remember them ever having ashes.
Will you get ashed, am I saying it right, today?
Will I get ashed today? I am planning on it.
Yeah.
Wednesdays is a normal church night for the kids, so we're just going.
You'll be where the ashes are.
Yep.
Are they blessed ahead of time?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
But it has to be by a father. Like, I'm an ordained minister.
Yeah, no.
I can't... And the only ashes I have in my house...
And it's not from your fireplace.
Where do these ashes come from?
The palms from the last Palm Sunday that are all dried out.
Get out of here! You are blowing my mind. I didn't know any of this. I'm fascinated.
Really?
So Palm Sunday from last year...
Last year's Palm Sunday, they take all of the
palms... In the Holy Land?
Fronds. No, ours.
Any palm used anywhere?
I believe.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then they dry them out?
Well, naturally, they get all dried out. They dry out pretty quickly, and then you burn those. Those are the ashes that are used for Ash Wednesday.
You had no clue. I had no clue.
The more you know.
I know. Rainbow NBC.
Yes.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, I know.
And then let's move into the next round then. So now we got Lent.
Yes.
And you are more of you're not a give up person. What are you? Acts of service?
Taking something on, taking on a project. I was like thinking about fasting, though.
Yeah,
like that kind of, but you can fast from many different things. It doesn't have to be like, I'm not eating sugar.
So let me just hypothetically.
Yeah.
Could Shannon fast and not watch another episode of Veronica Mars?
Yes, you can fast from Veronica Mars. You could fast from online shopping.
Last night.
She needs to give up the Veronica.
So much Veronica Mars.
But I know that she loves that show.
I can't talk about that. I watched a movie from 10 years ago, right?
Right.
It's nostalgia.
But now you're.
But at least the movie is, it's 2 hours, you're done. These streaming services, it's like, those are full 22 episode seasons.
Years of Veronica Mars.
I know. And she's fitting it in one night at a time. Well, maybe that's her sacrifice.
Luckily, she'll burn through them all, right? Like,
yes.
She can't go the whole 40 days and 40 nights with...
No, we're almost done with season three, and whatever this new season is, I think we're good.
Day two of Veronica Mars, and she's almost through the whole thing.
Yes. appears to be that way to me.
Which is crazy.
Yeah.
She's just inhaling that stuff.
I haven't even broached or considered any sort of what to take on for the Lenten season.
Yeah?
Uh-uh.
I've been thinking about it. I was talking to my kids about, like, hey, you guys should fast from fighting with your sister, huh?
How'd that go over?
Yeah, it's not going to. It's like hard. There's just little bickery things. Like sometimes you're in a bad mood and she's not. And
yeah, that happens.
Yeah, you'll butt heads. Yeah.
So here's a good, I could fast from sitting on the couch, right?
Yes.
Which is the opposite of, I could just like go outside for a walk.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah.
I could approach that.
Yeah. Good luck with your fasting.
Thank you.
I haven't come down like with a decision. It's like, this is going
to
be it.
Do you have to start it today?
Yes.
Again, there are hard and fast rules, but there's guidelines.
Yes. The guideline is it begins today, and I should have given it more thought yesterday, but I was like, I had all these ideas.
You got the day.
Exactly. I will come up with something.
Well, I thank you. You have enlightened me this morning.
I have enlightened me.
Yes.
You're enlightened.
I think you get older, you get a little bit more curious about things the world around you.
Yeah.
Things that you've just taken for granted.
Now you're enlightened.
I'd be like, there's a Catholic. They've got you know, that black smudge on their head.
Yep.
And then I don't think anything about it. And I don't pursue and ask, why do you do that? And is it required? And where did that come from?
What are the rules?
It's very, I like to know the rules.
This guy loves a good rule.
And you know what? I now understand the rules of Ash Wednesday.
Wow.
Thank you.
The more you know. And I need to tell you about the smartest bird perhaps in the world, but for now, at least the smartest bird in Germany. A hospital, it's an emergency room in Germany. It's called Das Klinikum Links der Wasser Hospital.
I don't care about the bird. I want to know more about the hospital.
Das Klinikum Links der Wasser Hospital is a hospital for humans. However, on Sunday, just this past Sunday, they heard a knocking at their like emergency sliding door.
Uh-huh.
And people inside are like, what the heck? You hear that? You hear that? What's going on? So they go outside and they see this cormorant. It's a water bird, right?
Yeah.
Like seagull. They see it and it's got something metallic in its beak. It turns out a fish hook got lodged.
Oh, ow.
Through its beak. And it was one of those like nasty fish hooks with the three prongs.
Yeah.
It was a big, big fish hook. And the bird was in distress. So the hospital is a people hospital, right?
Yes.
But they're like, we got to do what we can to help. So they called their friends at the fire department. They're like, we need backup because they can't catch the bird.
Sure.
So the fire department helps them capture the bird. They are able to cut the hook parts off of the fishing hook. And then the medical personnel at the hospital, the emergency room, were able to take out the remaining hook and treat the wound that was there, which is amazing. The bird's going to be okay.
We need to pause and go back to the fact that the bird went to the hospital.
Yes, exactly. They're like, this is extremely rare for animals to reach out to humans for help. But this bird let humans get close to it. It must have been in extreme distress so that it could get the fishing hook out. Otherwise, it was at risk of infection, pain, starvation.
I mean, it's one thing to just go where the people are.
Yeah.
But you went to a hospital, bird.
Specifically.
Right?
A hospital. That's
I mean, that's
insane.
Pretty intelligent.
Right. It could have, like, been knocking on a lawyer's office or
sure,
something.
Sure, yes.
Right? And how did it know? Like, oh, people are in here, too.
There's no way the bird. That was luck of the draw?
Had to have been.
Of the knock? Yes.
Of all the doors this bird could have knocked on.
But I find it fascinating that there are other tales of animals seeking human treatment.
Uh-huh.
Just enough that it's like
super rare.
They get it.
But if the animal's in distress and it knows, like, I can't fix this myself.
Yes. Hopefully that two-legged animal can help me.
Maybe this one with the thumbs. Come here, you.
Hey, thumb boy. We need your help
here,
over here.
Thummy.
Lay it all out there.
Brace yourself.
What's on your mind?
It's mind-blowing, isn't it?
Time for some brain show and tell.
What's on your mind?
I had to have a little etiquette lesson yesterday with my darling daughters. We were driving in the car, and as we're driving down the road, a car was approaching us, and as we were passing that vehicle, the driver of the vehicle that was passing our way gave me the old one-finger wave.
Yes!
Yes! Yes, right?
That is an Iowa farmer's salute, we called it.
Exactly, yes. So kind, so nice, and I was like, huh! Gave me the wave, and they're like, what are you talking about? I'm like, ladies, sit down, let me teach you some etiquette. What you do as a driver, particularly in the rural areas, it doesn't matter if you know the car that's approaching or if it's like, oh, I think that's my neighbor. You simply have your hand on the steering wheel and you lift your index finger, indicating to the other driver that I see you, I recognize you, and I say good day.
You ever get a two-finger?
That's a fancy one, too.
Mm-hmm.
That's like going above and beyond, really. That's two fingers.
Sometimes I feel like that person really knows you or older farmer.
Yes.
Maybe that's how it used to be done, right?
I remember watching my grandfather do it.
Mm-hmm.
And if he really knew the person, like he knew the vehicle that was approaching, he would remove his hand from the steering wheel and just kind of point, like shake, wag a finger at the person. Like,
good to see you.
Hey.
There you are.
Yeah, yeah.
Here I am.
But they had never seen this move before.
Really?
And they were both just kind of flabbergasted that I was doing it. I was like, we can do it to anybody. Watch, kids. And I'm one finger waving everybody as I went down 16th Avenue Southwest in Cedar Rapids.
How was the rate of return? High or low?
Low.
Low?
Low. I mean, the person that I met who started this whole thing rolling, definitely an older gentleman.
Well, I have a theory. And the theory is thus. You are a country mouse.
Yes.
As am I.
Living in the big city.
Yeah. Your husband and maybe many of the people you passed are city mice.
Yes.
They might not know this move.
Yes.
Right? And now I'm worried when your daughters are in the car with poor Nick, he's not teaching them these trends because he's a city mouse.
Right. City mouse doesn't know these
things. No, city mouse doesn't know.
Oh my gosh. We need to countrify these kids.
Yeah. That's right. Get it back to their roots.
Like you and I know anything about country.
Come on. I didn't say I was a farmer.
Hey, I grew up next to a golf course.
Yeah, but it was in the country. I think if any course of your day had to involve a gravel road at one point or another, you could count yourself as a country mouse.
Okay, good.
I'm not making my own butter.
No.
Right?
No, I'm not sewing my own clothes.
I don't can anything, but I do understand the rules of the gravel road.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I know the speeds to go. I know how to wave. I think that is just a characteristic we learn because of our upbringing.
And you know what? I had kind of forgotten about it. So I thank that the fellow driver who gave me the one finger wave. And I am going to try to commit to doing that to all of the drivers I see today.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One fingers. Make sure it's the index.
Hey.
And you're good to go.
Hey.
Last night, big win. Hawkeye men's basketball team. They've had some trouble. Back up. Overall, Hawkeye fans are happy with the new coach. They're happy with the style of play.
Sure.
We're just not getting the big wins. But again, it's the new season, new coach, right?
It's a rebuilding year.
Yes. Had a couple losses we shouldn't have had. Then the Purdue's of the world, like, kind of don't make us look good.
Mm-hmm.
Nebraska comes to Carver Hawkeye last night. They're a top 10 ranked men's basketball team. And Iowa wins 57-52. Fans rush the court.
Wow.
It's a big deal. You want to know how I know that score?
How?
I didn't see a clip. I didn't go to a sports app. I didn't see a post from anybody who's there. There's a guy around named Rick Zortman. Rick is also known as the human etch-a-sketch. You know Rick's work primarily about the time the kids' captains are announced because he always does.
Oh, yeah.
He runs GPS and then runs people's names.
He writes messages.
Yes.
Yeah.
Human etch-a-sketch.
Uh-huh.
He actually did one for me when I was the voice of the Hawkeye Marching Band. He did a Good Luck Eric. So I've met him at many a fundraiser. He's tied to children's health, children's cancer. Fantastic dude. The reason I know Iowa won is he ran the score last night.
He ran the score last night?
So
like
he went
game?
Out and ran the word Iowa. So it's like GPS, the word Iowa. And then he drove or walked to another location, then ran the number 57, then went to another location and ran the word Nebraska, and then ran 52. That's how I know the score.
How?
So here I have many questions, Rick. Human etch-a-sketch. First of all, how do you map it out? So like your running penmanship is fantastic.
Of course.
And then also, what time did that game end last night?
That's
and did
what I
you
wanna
go
know.
Outside immediately following?
Did you watch any of the game? What time was the game at?
I think the tip-off was at 8. I didn't watch a single lick of basketball.
After
I checked
8 o'clock?
The halftime score on an app, and then I went to bed. That was it. And we were up by a couple points.
I will grant you that it is very mild weather-wise, but no way.
Now, and if you went out last night, because I think I saw this, it was before 4 this morning when I was on Facebook.
My goodness.
So I love the fact, though, that the way I learned the score was a guy ran it.
Yeah.
But I'm just
do you think
fascinated.
He's just so fired up, like, oh my gosh, what an amazing win. The fans are charging the floor. He's like, he's at home. I just gotta get this energy out.
It could
out.
Just be pure adrenaline. Yeah,
oh.
Totally. And also, I think we all rely on him for this.
Mm-hmm.
And it's basketball. That's a lot of scores you gotta run. Like, football is just every Saturday.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is like you got to run 2 or 3 a week.
It's a lot more running than I'm willing
to do. That's a lot of commitment for this guy.
time for The Buzz with Danson Eric Hansen on
Z102.9.
Filing with the Iowa Workforce Development Office reveals that Whirlpool in Middle Amana plans to lay off 341 workers. The date on that looks to be March the 9th. Whirlpool says it's going to support impacted by the layoffs and also acknowledge plans to modernize and transform the plant to better position operations in the future. There may be more layoffs next quarter, according to Whirlpool. The entire state of Iowa, save three counties in far down left, southwest Iowa, are under a red flag warning. So if you go to the National Weather Service map, use the color coding, all of Iowa, so 96 counties out of 99. So this red flag warning goes from 10 o'clock this morning to 8 o'clock tonight. The National Weather Service says you've got strong winds, relatively low humidity, and dry vegetation. Any spark could not only start a fire, it could get out of control fast. Winds out of the southwest 20 to 30, wind gusts pushing upwards of 50 miles per hour today. Any fire that develops could catch and spread quickly. Fire behavior then expected to be extreme and erratic. Outdoor burning not recommended. So red flag warning and then also a wind advisory kind of tucked into that throughout today. We'll see a high later of 63. We will move into what's got us feeling all right. Week number six of the Mount Mercy Elevate Award. It's a big partnership between us and Mount Mercy University, looking at area and beyond student leaders who elevate our community. We're going down to Wayne Community School District in South Central Iowa. His name is Cody Holbrook.
What do we know about Cody?
Quote, "There is not a high schooler on this planet that works harder than Colby."
Aww.
Uh-oh, is it Colby or Cody? I think it's Colby.
Colby.
Sorry, Colby, I spelled your name wrong in my first iteration through the story, but the rest of the story gets it right. There's not a high school schooler on this planet that works harder than Colby. He has worked his way up within our local Hy-Vee because of that dedication. He's now a manager.
Wow, high school?
Yeah, at 18. He's a senior. He was nominated for this award because the money from his job makes him ineligible for another scholarship he was going for at Mount Mercy University.
Oh, wow.
He works 35 hours a week part-time and is a full-time student. And wants to play football for the soon-to-be Mount Mercy Mustangs football team.
Whoa.
He doesn't depend on anyone for anything. He does what he does because of his work ethic. That is why he has been nominated. And if he so enrolls, we'll get a $500 Elevate scholarship upon enrolling at Mount Mercy University. If you'd like to learn more about their Elevate and leadership programs, their website is mountmercy.edu, mtmercy.edu.
And now, a pop culture update we'd like to call Z's Sleaze with Claire.
Cardi B is on tour currently, and she is making some changes and letting those changes be known. First of all, she did confirm that she and her baby daddy, Stefan Diggs, no longer together.
Who saw that coming?
We kind of figured that.
Everybody.
Everybody knew.
Everybody.
Yeah, but she confirmed that on stage. And then Monday night, she was playing a show in L.A., and she had fellow singer Kalani join her on stage for a performance, and they did kind of a collaboration. And then, you go backstage, debrief after the show. Hey, how are you? Great to work with you and whatnot. And Kalani was complimenting Cardi B, and said, "Oh my gosh, you have so much ass." And Cardi said, "After this tour, I'm taking some out. After this tour, I don't want to see nobody for 3 months. I'm going to Columbia. Nobody hit me up. Nothing. I am taking it out."
I have a lot of questions.
Yeah.
I know the world exists where you can get butt implants.
Yes.
You can also get lifts.
Yes.
Brazilian.
Yes.
Even. Why Columbia? What's in
cheaper
there? What's coming out?
It's implants. They are booty implants.
Okay.
And apparently that's a lot, right? And does it feel like you're sitting on something?
I would feel like any alteration to your body, you would lose some nerve endings, some sensation, would you not?
Yeah.
Both putting it in and taking it out.
Yeah.
Does that stuff regrow? I don't know.
But she's going to have some of it taken out.
Okay.
She went too far.
But in Columbia.
It's cheaper. Yes.
That's great.
It is way cheaper to do it in Columbia.
Just feel like the medical system here might be a little better.
Well,
I don't know. Just thinking out loud.
Looking at dollars and cents first.
She's Cardi B. She has a refrigerator full of cash.
Does she? I don't know.
Take one of your daughter's purses that she still doesn't comprehend and sell that.
Your child's purse. Okay, Miley Cyrus announcing a return to her roots. She's going back to Disney for Hannah Montana, the 20th anniversary special.
What was the anniversary?
The 20th anniversary of Hannah Montana coming up on March 24th on Disney Plus. It's going to be a live special, live studio audience. Miley's going to be there. She's going to talk about music and moments, memories from the show. Some of the sets are going to be recreated, so they'll be kind of like in Hannah's closet or in the family living room where I think a lot of the action took place. And you're going to see some behind-the-scenes footage, some archive stuff that never made it to air, so exclusive content. And then Miley's going to get interviewed. She is being interviewed by Alex Cooper from the Call Her Daddy podcast.
Uh-huh.
She's a great interviewer, so that should go really well. They have not confirmed if any other cast members are going to be in attendance. And this is the show that Miley was in with her dad, Billy Ray.
I don't think Billy Ray's getting invited back to you.
I don't know. Why not? He played her dad. He is her dad.
Is he the best role model for people watching Disney Plus? I mean, she's turned a corner.
What's he then? I don't know.
Well, then you didn't know all about it, right? We've had many stories since then.
We have. So we'll see if anybody else, they haven't announced anybody else from the cast who's going to be making it back for the special or the Hanniversary, as Miley is calling it. So this is my way of celebrating and thanking fans who have stood by me for 20 years.
I love that she's green lighting and is going to do it.
I do too.
She's all in.
Remember when she was done with Disney and it was like, foam finger and bleach blonde hair?
Yeah, I think that was like, I have to destroy any semblance of who I was.
Yes.
But again, of so many artists, you ask who's matured the most, she's at the top of my list.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay, I told you, Tracy Morgan, actor, comedian, such a funny guy, but he has danced with death. He had a very serious accident a couple years ago.
Was that
hit by a semi truck?
That was it. Okay, I'm like,
in a limo.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Thank you.
Super, super serious. He has developed, or has always had, I don't know, a love of all things aquatic. He has multiple fish tanks in his home, and
it's like a dentist's office.
Well. A deadly dentist's office.
What?
Because his interest in sea creatures is the deadly ones. He says that he's got a 200,000-gallon shark tank in his backyard. And he likes to hoard
things. No, that's Dr. Evil.
Yes, exactly. You have a bunch of sharks with freaking laser beams attached to their heads.
He has a shark tank in his backyard?
He has a shark tank in his backyard, and he likes to hoard things that could possibly kill him. He has 3 cone snails, which sounds innocuous.
What's
right?
A cone snail?
Well, a cone snail is a highly venomous thing that can, if it gets you, it can
you get
kill
like
you.
Any slime on you and then you're dead.
If it bites you, it is the deadliest thing
a
on the planet.
A biting snail?
It has no cure, and this cone snail can take down a blue whale.
Why do you want this, Tracy Morgan?
Why do you want 3 of them? He has 3. He says he has 1, and the 2 inside technically belong to his daughter. Why does your daughter have 2?
I don't get this at all.
I don't get this
fascination.
Nope, nope, nope. Sell those. Get rid of those.
Because at some point, who's cleaning the tanks, right?
Ew.
Which means you got to move the creatures so you can clean the tank. Somebody's got to touch the snail.
How many tank cleaners have you gone through, Tracy Morgan?
And where are their bodies? Are you feeding them to the sharks in your backyard, Tracy?
What is happening, Tracy Morgan? What is happening? That's what we like to call
Z's Sleaze.
So this was a couple months ago. We're coming back from Chicago, and we have a pretty typical tradition. We always stop at Oak Brook.
And I don't think it's your choice.
Oh, no, it's Shannon's choice.
It is 110% Shannon.
But sometimes I play the, okay, if you're going to Nordstrom and the Container Store card, I get to go to the Cheesecake Factory,
mm-hmm.
Which is fair. I love their shrimp club sandwich. Anywho, not
you
the
You go
point.
To the Cheesecake Factory for the shrimp?
Well, for the sandwich.
And it's, the cheesecake.
Claire, I don't know what that bread is, but it's fantastic. And then cheesecake. So, good meal. Couple of refills of the old raspberry iced tea.
Uh-huh.
Got to hit the head before we head home, right?
Sure.
So I walk into the men's room, Cheesecake Factory, Oak Brook, Illinois, and there it is. A grandma and a little dude. They must have been like right in front of me because they weren't actively, he's going to the bathroom.
They're making their way.
They're making their way, and she quickly realizes I'm like, stunned? Because for a second I thought I walked into the wrong room.
That can be a real concern, yeah.
And she's like, up. Sorry, little guy had to go. We're potty training, so if that's okay. I'm like, yeah. So No problem. They're not using, I'm at the urinal. They're in a stall.
Sure.
We're set. Wash my hands. I walk out. The car ride home, we're just breaking this down.
Mm-hmm.
Like, did she, is it a matter of convenience? Did grandma get confused? Did grandma think this was the best location because he was a little boy, so he needed to know the room to go to?
True.
I've seen dads bring little girls into the men's rooms before. And then we got on this topic, probably about Rockford. I would never bring my niece into the women's room, right?
No, you can't.
So there was just layers of etiquette here. And then I started wondering, well, what is the general rule of thumb?
That's tough. If,
like, let's say you had boys.
Right.
Or you know what? You have nephews.
I have nephews. My sisters, they have to do this all the time, right? But I feel like they generally take their sons with them to the ladies' room.
So I think what caught me off guard is, like, why did you bring him in here? Which, again, was fine. And I respect, like, this is, like, they're actively training.
Yeah.
You also don't want an accident at the table. That's embarrassing.
But sometimes you got to do what you got to do. Like, I have also been there when there's just not as many. There are some changing tables for in the men's rooms nowadays, which is so much better. But I have been in there when a dad's like, hey, I really need a changing table. This is the only one available.
Oh, in a women's room.
Yeah. Ladies, I'm coming in.
So that's the question. We framed it specifically on the Z Facebook page and for the phone lines to moms, grandmas, aunts, fun aunts. Are you comfortable potty training boys in the men's restroom? But we'll take a dad call too. Like,
sure.
Have you had to run your little girl into the women's room before?
Or have you been in a situation where you've had to do
that?
Yeah,
what were those circumstances? We would love to get your opinion on this. The phone lines are open at 200-1029. We call it Momtroversy.
Okay, so when I was a first-time mom, like, oh no, I would never take, you know, a kid of a different gender into a different bathroom, you know?
Uh-huh.
But now that I have three kids, I'm like, a bathroom's a bathroom. If we're potty training, you listen to your body, you go to the bathroom, you don't worry about the sign.
It's a matter of convenience.
It is. It really is. So, you know, you make an announcement, I'm sorry, we're coming in, and then you do your business.
Oh, you know, that's weird because I came in behind them.
Right.
She well could have made a very quick announcement. It's like, this might seem weird, but this little guy's...
She told you, we're potty training.
But she saw me walk in, then it made more sense. All right, we love the perspective. Yes. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks,
bye. Good to hear from a veteran mom.
My kid three, they got to go,
You know what, guys? Come on.
All right, so that's one person's opinion, but we would love to hear yours as well.
Helping raise your kids the scramble way. This week's Momtroversy on Z102.9.
I don't have a ton of Momtroversies to play because A, I'm not a mom.
No.
B, we don't have kids, nieces and nephews. But this happened to me a couple months ago. We were coming back from Chicago. We always stop in Oak Brook. There's a big mall there, and there's a Cheesecake Factory. The Cheesecake Factory is for me, and the mall's for Shannon.
Obviously.
But after wrapping up the meal, got the ride back, want to hit the bathroom, walk in. I got it. Guess it's a grandma type. With a little dude, and she sees I'm just a little bewildered, right? I'm like caught off guard. She's like, oh, yeah, I totally get it. He's potty training. Had to go. I'm like, no problem. And they're at a stall anyway.
Sure.
I just go over to the urinal. Business, wash hands, out, right?
No big deal.
But this now becomes great fodder for the three-hour car ride home. One, Shannon and I are still like, why did she pick the men's room? So I have that question. And then we're like, would you do that? Or like, would Shannon's mom have taken her brother Eric into the men's room or even her grand? Like, we start talking about Grandma Irene. And so we got caught up just a little bit on the gender thing,
The
age thing. Was it a matter of convenience? But it made for a great topic. I brought it up to you a couple weeks ago, and you're like, let's throw it out for Momtroversy.
Yeah, I think it's an interesting topic because that is such a hard age when it's like you have to listen to your body and use the potty, and you've got to get in there now. It's just then as a parent, you have to make that decision. Where are we going? Where do I as a parent feel comfortable being, and what works best for parent and child?
So that's our conversation. Potty training in public, bringing in like a different gender to the different bathroom. And is there certain ages that's okay? And do you wait at the door? Do you make an announcement? Like, how do you tackle that? So we're taking phone calls at 200-1029. Good morning.
Good morning. So I have two girls. I don't have any boys, but one. So I've gone to the baby thing. I have an almost 3-month-old baby now. And diaper changing stations, like you guys have already said, are awful when it comes to men's bathrooms. And I know I have a 4.5-year-old. Dad hates taking her into the men's bathroom anyway. And so I have always said, as a girl mom, I would much rather a dad in general announce their entrance mm-hmm. into a women's bathroom than just like walking right in and like kind of catching off guard, kind of like that grandma did to you, Eric.
Yeah.
But,
yes. Now, you're okay with rather, that though, as long as it's proclaimed walking in. Got it.
Yeah. I want dad to be comfortable and it not, because it always ends up falling on mom. And like, if mom's not there and baby needs changed or big kid needs to go potty,
yeah,
I'd rather the kiddo be comfortable and everybody else be comfortable in the situation than something like weird or you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. No, totally.
I don't want to be accused of anything for going in the wrong bathroom.
Exactly. Just make it announced. And I think moms are more okay with it nowadays, especially with how everything is changing. Just want to know that you're
respect,
in there and
Dad.
It'll be good.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Yeah. All right. We appreciate the perspective. Thanks so much.
Yep. Have a good day.
Thanks. Bye. Has Nick had to take the girls into the ladies' restroom before?
I was trying to think back to that time in our lives, because for the most part, the girls are comfortable. I think Cora still wants me to come with her because she just doesn't feel comfortable going on her own. But it's always mom. And if we want things to be equitable amongst parents, we really, the public bathroom has to change a little bit.
Yeah.
You are seeing more gender neutral bathrooms, but sometimes there has to be a decision that gets made. When are we going in?
So interesting in other countries, because what they do is basically they do water closets. So you walk into a larger facility and you've got just stalls. So everything's a locked, closed, fully closed door. And then the sink is basically gender neutral, right?
Sure.
Because everybody can wash their hands together. Yeah. That seems like they've kind of tackled it and figured it out. You make it so that way everything's cleaner, self-contained. There's baby changing stations everywhere that are easier to find.
Yeah.
But it does create, just because we just have this, the way the system is set up here, it just catches you off guard. Also, you know, we're getting into things like sanitary conditions and bodily functions.
I know, but there's the moment when you have to decide, because not every place has this like gender neutral option.
No.
You have to choose which door are we going in?
That's been our Momtroversy this week. The conversation continues on the Z102.9 Facebook page, also at 200-1029. And again, if you ever have a topic you'd love for us to tackle, we would love to hear from you. Just contact the Morning Scramble. Continuing to talk about potty training.
I am.
Yeah, what are your thoughts, please?
I would not, and I did not. I took my boys into the women's bathroom and had them stand and pee, or if they had to go number two, I had them do that, because I heard men's bathrooms are kind of gross and dirty, so I would not step foot in there.
Okay, you're the second person who has called about the sanitary issue. I don't know about that. That's funny. I didn't consider that.
And I've had single dads, I assume, ask me to keep an eye on their little girl when they had to go to the bathroom. I don't know if they're waiting around for a mom with kids or just a mom-looking person to walk by, but they're like, ma'am, would you be able to just keep an eye on her? You know, when she goes, like, sure, you know? So
yeah, that's,
I've had that happen before, too.
I have seen that happen before.
Yes.
It was just odd that grandma was in there with the little one.
Yeah. But you walked in.
Sometimes also urgency, like, if he's got to go, he's, like, trying to learn how to go at the moment.
That's the lesson, is you have to listen to your body, and now is the time.
It's a matter of convenience. Thank you for your perspective. We appreciate it.
All right, thank you.
Thanks, bye. Hey, thanks for calling Momtroversy. What are your thoughts on this particular predicament?
Yeah, I was taking my kids to school when this was happening, and I told my four kids are in the back. My son is the oldest. He's currently 10. And I asked him, I'm like, what do you think? Should I have taken you into the meds room? He's like, no, I don't think so.
He's like, I'm a proud ladies room graduate.
Yeah, I got used to going in there if I had to go when I was really little.
Yeah. And then even now, if he goes in, he's got three little sisters. So if he goes into the men's room, I prop the door open with my foot, just in case a situation were to occur.
Yeah.
And that way, when people walk in or out, like, you're there to explain what's going on.
Yeah.
Makes it, just so I clarify, so do you allow your 10-year-old to take his younger sisters into the men's room?
No, I guess we haven't done that. I don't think he'd be interested in that.
No, that was, yeah.
Due to lack of interest on the brother's part, no.
You need to be a man today.
Yeah.
That makes a lot of sense. But no, I positioned at the door has come up a couple times.
Yeah, for you to be there but not physically in there, that makes
yes.
sense.
All right, well, we appreciate the perspective, especially with having kids in the car. Thank you.
Yep.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye.
It's the Morning Scramble. The Morning Scramble. Z102.9.
Okay, yesterday, producer Ben was on a mission to find a hidden immunity idol hidden by the folks at Survivor. They're celebrating their 50th episode by hiding idols in all 50 states. And if you find one, You could win your way onto the big finale, and producer Ben wants to go.
Hi, producer Ben.
Hello.
I don't ever want to play poker with producer Ben.
Mm-mm.
He does. He never shows emotion.
Nope.
In real time, like he can hide it. As of right now, I do not know how yesterday went.
He's smiling, and I hope that means happy, but it could also be smiling because you guys won't believe what happened.
I gave it a shot, what went down. Okay, let's start with this. You had a four-hour window yesterday from 4 until 8 p.m. You had a lot of clues that we knew was at least a bowling alley somewhere.
Yep.
We were more Eastern Iowa focused. A lot of phone calls are like, guys, you got to look Central Iowa, Des Moines, specifically Altoona. Where did you end up going?
I ended up in Altoona.
Altoona. Okay.
Okay.
And I found a long line, so I thought that was a good sign.
That's a very good indicator something is happening here.
Was this in the Adventureland area, or what else is over there? There's a bunch of data centers on one side.
Yeah, it was at the data center.
It was kind of near Adventureland. It was at Uncle Buck's Fishbowl and Grill.
Oh, the Bass Store. They sell
Pro Shops?
Yeah, they sell campers and stuff. Right next to it, there's a restaurant. I didn't know that was a bowling alley.
Really?
Part of the clue was something about father's brother. I don't think we put enough thought into that.
Oh, Uncle Buck, father's brother. Okay, so you went to Uncle Buck's what?
Uncle Buck's Fishbowl and Grill.
Okay, and then you got in a line.
What did you find when you got there?
Yeah, what happened next?
So the line was like kind of wrapped around the building, and it took me 3 hours to get through the line.
Are you kidding?
But they did come around every once in a while with like some trivia questions, and
Jeff Probst or
CBS staff, whatever.
Okay.
Crew members.
Okay.
Oh, well, that's cool.
Very.
So that's also a good indication you're in the right spot.
Yes.
Okay, so CBS people are engaging you. You were wrapped around a building.
I won a piece of candy from them.
You
no,
did.
Wait, what was the candy? Name the candy.
I got a Twizzlers.
Yes.
They asked, "What year did the first episode of Survivor air?" And I blurted out immediately, May 31st, 2000.
2000?
Wow.
They asked the year, and I gave the whole date.
And you only got one piece of candy
for
that?
Ben.
Yeah. You should have got the whole bag.
Yeah.
Everyone looked at me crazy.
Wow.
I'm looking at you crazy. Like, how'd you just... You're a big Survivor fan.
I hope the CBS people looked at you with crazy respect.
Did they... After you did that, did they have a clipboard like, check mark? Like, we got a winner, folks.
He's like...
He was like, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay. So you're in line. You win a piece of candy. That gets you enough energy to continue in the line. Mm-hmm. Then what happens?
So once you get inside, they take you around a little bowling alley area, and you do have to go through the bowling alley, and they line you up in different lanes.
Physical challenge. You have
and
to bowl?
And you compete against each other.
What?
And if you bowl a strike on your first bowl, you get a sticker as a prize. If no one bowls a strike, they keep going, and whoever has the most pins down gets the sticker.
Oh, Ben.
And I won a sticker!
Yay!
Survivor 50 sticker.
No way! Ben, we did it! Eric, can you believe this?
We did this!
We did it!
Oh, good job, us!
I am so happy for us. I can't believe we did this.
Snaps.
Ben, snaps.
Snaps.
Snaps for Ben.
Okay, you've won a Twizzler. You won at bowling. Then what happens?
And then you go into the room, and there's an idol. So I took a picture with the idol.
What's it look like?
It was like kind of a metal medallion with some beads on top.
Oh, I thought like a little tiki guy.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be a tiki thing.
So a metal medallion with beads. Do you have a photo of that?
I got a photo with that. I submitted my entry, and I am in for the chance to win the trip.
How do you know that?
It gave me a confirmation, and Jeff gave me a personal message.
Well, congratulations. You showed you have what it takes. You solved the clues. You found the idol. And now you're entered for a shot to come to the live finale of Survivor 50. And don't miss the premiere, Survivor 50, Wednesday, February 25th.
For just a second, I wanted Jeff Probst to go and drink Ovaltine.
Please. Yes.
Just like the Dakota Ring in A Christmas Story.
To drink Ovaltine.
It's a big promotion, but this is awesome. There are 50 seasons of Survivor, and now producer Ben potentially can go to the taping of the
really
final episode.
Ben, are you so excited?
I am excited. We don't find out until late March.
Oh.
Okay. So now we just wait?
Yeah, we just wait.
What? Twiddle our thumbs? Can we do so, like a Survivor word search or something? Like what?
You want to like increase his chances?
Yes.
He could go to other states and find other idols. That's an option.
Oh, Ben.
You can enter as many of those as you want, but yeah. It's a lot of work.
Did you meet anybody from other states?
There was people that said they went to other states. I don't know if they were from other states.
Interesting.
Who has the time? First of all, he had to drive to Des Moines and back.
Yeah.
That's 4 hours. And then you had to wait in a 3-hour line all on a Tuesday.
And then he had to bowl. I think I'm most proud of the bowling. Ben, we've seen your bowling scores before. You're not a great bowler.
That's a great point.
My first bowl, I only got one pin down, and I'm like, okay, I lost.
Oh, no.
And then I ended up getting pretty straight on the second one and got the most down.
So were you competing against a child or?
A bunch of grown adults.
Grown adults. Okay. Look at you, Ben.
Right before me, a bunch of people got strikes, though, so I was like, there's no way.
That's intimidating. No. Glad you're in the second group. Ben is our champion. Yeah.
Ben is a champion. Because Ben is a champion of Survivor 50.
Thank you for listening to the Morning Scramble podcast.
Catch Claire and Eric live weekday mornings, 6 until 10 Central Time on Z102.9. Listen on your radio, on your smart speaker, or stream at KZIA.com.
Okay, have a good day.